As you saw, our monthly theme is intention, really a very rich word for the start of the year, and I want to unpack the word because its meaning was a surprise to me. It comes from the Latin word intentionem, literally meaning a stretching out, a stretching forth of mind, of body, and of spirit. When we set an intention, we turn our attention towards something or some idea and we stretch to meet it. However, our intention is not our action. That would be a resolution or goal. Intention is about paying attention to something in ourselves, a stretching towards something within. So really, it is about stretching ourselves. My colleague, Katie Covey, in doing her brainstorming for this month's theme, said this: "Here's what I discovered. Intention is different from setting goals or resolutions in that it pulls us into who we really are. Goals and resolutions push us out into future possibilities and actions. To set intentions, we listen to our inner voice, which tells us who we truly are." And this understanding of intention is certainly echoed in Buddhist teachings on right intention, which is a very important concept in Buddhism. And here is a story on intention from Philip Moffat, a Buddhist teacher. He writes, "Once a month, an hour before the Sunday evening meditation class I teach, I offer a group interview for students who attend regularly. These interviews give them the opportunity to ask questions about their meditation practice or about applying the Dharma to daily life. In a recent session, a yogi who dutifully meditates every morning admitted, 'I must be confused about the Buddhist teachings on right intention. I'm very good about setting intentions and then reminding myself of them, but things don't ever seem to turn out according to these intentions, and I fall into disappointment. At first, I could only smile in response. What a good question.' When I asked her to explain these intentions, she proceeded to describe a number of goals for her future: to become less tense at work, to spend more time with her family, to stabilize her finances, and more. She was suffering from a kind of confusion that seems to afflict many bright, hardworking people, mixing up two different life functions that are easily mistaken for each other. All of her goals were laudable, but none would fit within the Buddhist teachings on right intention. Goal making is a valuable skill," he continues. "It involves envisioning a future outcome in the world or in your behavior, then planning, applying discipline, and working hard to achieve it. You organize your time and energy based on your goals. They help provide direction for your life. But none of these activities is setting intention. Rather, they involve living in an imagined future and are not concerned with what is happening to you in the present moment. With goals, the future is always the focus. Are you going to reach the goal? Will you be happy when you do? What's next? Setting intention, though, at least according to Buddhist teachings, is quite different than goal making. It is not oriented toward a future outcome. Instead, it is a path or practice that is focused on how you are being in the present moment. Your attention is on the ever-present now in the constantly changing flow of life. So you set your intentions based on understanding what matters most to you and make a commitment to align your worldly actions with these inner values. As you gain insight through meditation, wise reflection, and moral living, your ability to act from your intentions blossoms. It's called a practice because it is an ever-renewing process. You don't just set your intentions or get in touch with them and then forget about them. You live them every day. So your intentions are truly about stretching out towards what is inside of you. They are your values that reflect the most real sense of who you are. And you live your intentions not through the achievement of goals, but through being mindful in each moment about what your deepest values, your intentions, really are. As Moffat says, this doesn't mean you don't set goals, but those goals must be grounded in your intentions. Those intentions and that stretching towards that connection with your deepest values, that is your foundation. Moffat's student found that when she focused on her goals only, when she didn't achieve them or got off course, she became absorbed in judging herself harshly for her perceived failures. She got onto that roller coaster of being affected hugely by what was going on around her. When she worked on being present to her deepest intentions and with being compassionate for herself, she became less reactive around her goals and found that she was able to move more consistently toward their achievement. So she was not so caught up in emotional storms around what she experienced as her mistakes or faults or lacks, or the mistakes or faults or lacks of others that affected her. As Moffat says, in choosing to live with right intention, you are not giving up your desire for achievement or a better life, and you're not binding yourself to be morally perfect. But you are committing to living each moment with the intention of not causing harm with your actions and words and not violating others through your livelihood or sexuality. You are connecting to your own sense of kindness and inherent dignity. Standing on this ground of intention, you are then able to participate as you choose in life's contest until you outgrow them. Naturally, sometimes things go well for you and other times not, but you do not live and die by these endless fluctuations. Your happiness comes from the strength of your internal experience of intention. You become one of those fortunate human beings who know who they are and are independent of our culture's obsession with winning. You still feel sadness, loss, lust, fear, and anger, but you have a means for directly relating to all of these difficult emotions. Therefore, you are not a victim, nor are your happiness and peace of mind dependent on how things are around you in this moment. So there are only two things, he says, that you are responsible for in this practice. Throughout each day, ask yourself if you are being true to your deepest intentions. If you're not, start doing so immediately, as best you're able. The outcome of your inquiry and effort may seem modest at first, but be assured, each time you start over by reconnecting to your intention, you are taking one more step toward finding your own authenticity and freedom. In that moment, you are remembering yourself and grounding your life in your heart's intention. You are grounding your life in the spiritual practice in your heart's intentions. And that is what we heard in Mark Vogt's story, as read by Mark Tipton. Mark Vogt said, "I do not have to be perfect, beautiful, or smart. I only have to be myself. I do not have to be wealthy or popular to make a difference in the world. I only need to give what I can and to love my neighbor as I wish to be loved." He states his intention so clearly, to give what I can and to love my neighbor as I wish to be loved. Now, if that's all he ever does, and he does it as much as he can, however imperfectly, is that not enough? Is that truly not enough? Can living your deepest values, your heart's intention, be enough for you and the world? I think we want that answer to be yes, because it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that you're living from your deepest and highest self of who you are. So intention is about stretching and connecting with who you are, the values you hold most dear, about only being yourself. Your intention, therefore, is really about your identity, who you are when you are being the most you and the best you that you can be in any moment. And it's also possible to think of these intentions, which are really about your identity, when we are speaking of this whole religious community, not just ourselves individually. One of the developmental goals is around our identity, the identity we share as Unitarian Universalists. And here is that goal statement from our developmental ministry. Second Unitarian has a clear and shared idea of our identity as Unitarian Universalists in this time and place. Just as with the individual Buddhist student, our shared identity is the set of shared values and intentions that make us uniquely Unitarian Universalists in Omaha in 2018. Just as with an individual, our shared intentions are the ground of our shared lives together. Our shared identity as a religious community is who we are when we are being the best Unitarian Universalist community that we can be. This idea of having a shared identity as a religious community can be a real challenge for Unitarian Universalists. The Board of Trustees and I really struggled with identity when we were writing our key outcomes last year, and we're not done with that by any means. Because our shared identity is the basis, the foundation of all that we might do together, as it reflects our highest shared values and intentions, it is really primary. Just for a person, it's the place that we start from. It's our foundation. So that is why, over the next 4 months, as we engage deeply with our goals, that's why we're beginning first with identity. In the meantime, you can, if you choose, explore your own intentions, always a useful spiritual practice. And I'm going to offer you some fill-in-the-blank questions and then some questions to reflect on your answers, and I will put all of this in the weekly newsletter. So let's see what some of these questions are. We can read them out loud together. So let's do that. My most important promise to myself is, because of me, my children will understand that I am on this earth too. I am avoiding. When I am gone, people will remember me by these two adjectives. If I won $1 million, the first thing I would do is, when I stop procrastinating, I will. I want to spend the rest of my life becoming. I am most happy when. So here are questions that you can fill in the blanks. You can stretch toward the answer that is most deep and most true for you. And here are some questions to think about after you fill in your blanks. So what surprises you about your answers? What would you change after giving the completed sentences a second look? Would those who know you the best agree with how you fill in the blanks? What two or three of these sentences seem to merit your greatest attention right now? And what single intention are you ready to set as a foundation based on listening deeply to what this list of completed sentences is trying to tell you? As I said, I will put these questions and then the reflection questions in the newsletter for next Wednesday. I close with these words from Susan Freiburg. What if you didn't make it to the front of the line, finish the marathon, or beat the crowd? What if you didn't inspire vast ripples on the web, go viral with your gospel, or create new cyber trends? What if you didn't learn to speak another language, drive a car across country, or blossom into a true blue yogi? What if you didn't use more time to just listen, be still, and reflect, or simply hold out your hand? What if you didn't permit yourself passion, take one more chance, or allow your soul to be seen? What if you didn't give heed to your heart, feed all those fears, or walk boldly through that door? You will develop in each season to ripen wholly into your prime. So what does it matter the things you did not do in this blessed allotted time, when the tour de force is within every treasured moment, when you cup your worthwhile life inside the love of your divine hands to kiss full on the mouth all its cherished wonder? May you find out all the what ifs that reflect your deepest intentions, yourself, the ground of your being. May you stretch deep inside, always toward that self, loving wholeheartedly your life. Blessed be. Amen.